This is Talking Business. Well, I'm joined now by Frank Lucasano, who's the founder and CEO of a business called Scope IT Education. G'day, Frank.
Good morning, Alan.
Now, before we get into what you're doing now, I'm just interested in what you did before that, because you started Scope IT Education back in 2014. What did you do before that, and what made you think that was a good idea? And I particularly want you to focus on your gambling, poker, and what you did in the gambling industry before that.
Yeah, sure. So I've had quite a bit of a diverse background. I sort of started as a teenager in the gaming industry. I worked for Star City as a croupier, and I worked my way up through gaming. And I sort of really, I fell in love with it. It was an industry that I just sort of had a real affinity for. But soon after that...
Did you gamble yourself, or you just like to help others gamble?
Look, I did a little. But over time working there, that sort of fades away when you start to realise that the odds aren't in your favour at all. I really sort of enjoyed the environment and the games. And at the same time, I saw a lot of, I guess, wealthy people in the casino, and I saw that they had done that often through business. So I sort of really sort of took my focus sort of left of centre and wanted to get into business. And so a partner of mine and I, we sort of got together and we set up a poker business, and we launched the APL. I think it was in maybe 2008 or so. I can't remember.
Australia, APL stands for Australian Poker League.
Yeah, that's correct. So we were, I think, the first in the world to offer a free gaming service. There was no money involved. We found ways to be able to give people the chance to play the games they wanted to play, but without putting any financial stake at risk.
So you're playing poker for nothing? That doesn't seem like it's much fun. Well, at least people are in it for money.
Absolutely, absolutely. There was prize money involved. Like, we put a business model behind that. We tried to help the pubs and clubs, which were sort of struggling at the time. So we had a model where people could come in and play for free and then get some winnings at the end of that.
So tell us about the idea for Scope IT Education. How did you come by that?
Yeah, sure. So after I sold APL, I divested of that in, I think, 2010, and did quite well from that transaction. So I took a bit of personal time off, and I just, you know, pursued individual pursuits. And one of those things that I did was I learned to code. I was really into technology, and I've always wanted to program my own games and make my own iPhone apps. And so I went and I enrolled in a lot of computer science courses at different universities around the world. And learning to code was so empowering and something I fell in love with. And that was something that I sort of at the same time saw an opportunity for both the business case, but also sort of on a philanthropic level to sort of give back to the community, because I noticed that there was this massive shortfall in the digital literacy of students in Australia. And so putting my skills together from a business background, from knowing how to code and seeing that opportunity, Scope IT was sort of born.
So do you think that everyone should learn how to code?
Look, no, not at all. And it's funny, our tagline for the business is, you know, teaching kids to learn by teaching kids to code. But it's not about every kid becoming a programmer. That's silly. And, you know, we don't all need to be programmers. But what it is, it really comes down to, if I try to sum it up in the easiest way, it's when a child sees a computer, right now, the overwhelming majority of them see it as a YouTube machine or as a gaming machine. Our goal is to add to that mix and for them to see it as a tool. And however they use that tool, that's up to them. So all it is about making them realize what computers can achieve more so than just YouTube and gaming. So that's what it's about. It's not actually about everyone programming. It's about noticing that computers can just do so much and how valuable that is.
So you set up a series of courses, primary school courses, high school, teacher professional development. And who are your customers? Are your customers the schools?
Yeah, absolutely. We deal direct with schools. We don't deal with the parents at all. We sort of go in, we help schools facilitate the shortfall in that digital learning that they can't provide themselves, because, you know, a lot of schools either don't have the infrastructure or the teachers needed to deliver the courseware. So we just augment what they have, and we come in and help them on many different levels, whether that be we come in with instructors and actually deliver the courses, or whether we help their teachers be able to deliver it themselves. We sort of have a whole range of different products and services to help them achieve what they need to do.
And is it mostly to government schools or private schools or both?
Yeah, it's really a mix. We work with a lot of government schools. I think it's about a 70-30 split in relation to the government schools. And that's because they're a little bit less resourced and are looking for sort of more assistance. And
I wouldn't have thought they had the money to pay you, though.
Look, and they often don't. And that's the biggest problem we have with our business model is that our clients aren't cash have a high cash surplus. So we're always sort of, you know, competing for other products and services that they're trying to give to their students. But as each day goes on, schools are realizing how important having a digital literacy for their students is. So it's slowly getting better, but it's certainly a monumental task to try and solve.
What do you charge them?
We only charge $5 per lesson. So it's quite cheap.
Per student?
Per student, $5 per lesson per student, yeah.
Right. And how long does the lesson go for?
They're typically 40 minutes, and we come back on a weekly basis. So we work with, I think right now, about 200 to 300 schools around Australia, and we've just launched in the US, Malaysia, and we will roll out in New Zealand in the mid part of this year.
So what are these schools that you're working with, how many of their students do they put through it? All of them, or do the students sort of self-select or what?
Look, we leave it up to the school, but we really try and push for teach every student. One of my personal philosophies is that no students would miss out. It shouldn't just be about the kids that have a natural liking or affinity for this. It really is about developing a fundamental skill that they'll use all through their educational career and then through their business or for their work life. So we try and push to have every student at least get some of those fundamental courses under their belt.
And what do you teach them? Do you teach them to code?
Look, yeah, that's sort of the end goal. It's funny, like it's not the beginning goal. The beginning goal is to teach them things like computational thinking, algorithmic flow, working memory, problem solving. So the courses originally are just in those fundamental sort of aspects. But then we move on to coding and 3D printing and robotics, electronics, digital citizenship, a whole range of courses to sort of flesh out their digital understanding.
And what is it, 40 minutes a week or
yeah,
a month or what?
Yeah, it's usually,
40 minutes a week?
Yeah, it's usually once per week for 40 minutes.
I mean, imagine a lot of the schools would be thinking we really ought to be doing that ourselves and have a teacher, have a specialist teacher. Do you find that they do that after a while, that if it proves to be popular, they sack you and get a teacher?
Absolutely. And that's actually our goal. As much as people say you're crazy, you're working yourself out of a business, our goal is to come in, show the school what's possible, and then we have a professional development service where we help train their teachers and then we pass them with skills and we move on. We have no problem in cannibalizing our own business. We currently service about, I think it's about 20,000 students a week is what we're doing for this term. But there's 1.9 million students in the country. So it's a long time before we're going to run out of students. So we're more than happy to help empower schools and for them to move on to greener pastures.
I was going to say that you'll end up, you know, obviously doing yourself out of a business, but as you say, there's quite a few to go through.
Yeah, this problem is monumental. The government is having an enormous trouble trying to sort of facilitate this without companies like ourselves. So we're sort of trying to work with schools, with government, with third-party corporations, trying to sort of all put our sort of piece of the jigsaw puzzle together to get this sort of digital crisis solved.
So is your revenue 20,000 times $5 per week? Is that right?
That's correct. So we're a franchise-based model. So we're the franchisor. So we have, I think it's about 25 franchisees around the country. So that pie is sort of divided. But yeah, that's the revenue for the brand, yes.
And are you growing? Is it 20,000 now, but is there some sort of growth that you expect to reach?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we're growing not as fast as we can. We're quite constrained by our own sort of quality measures because we are in the education system. We can't just select anyone as a franchisee and we can't just select anyone as an instructor. So that coupled with the fact that we're a bootstrapped company, we're only sort of really still in the startup phase. We're only coming into our third year. So we're a little bit constrained by things, but we're certainly growing and we have plans to do a lot more in this space.
So how do you fit into the curriculum?
Yeah, sure. So every state has their own curriculum, which is another sort of minefield that we have to tread through, coupled with every country that we're now operating in having different curriculums. But we have a curriculum team, and what we do is we have our own syllabus and courses and lesson plans that we've developed, and we integrate with every state or the National Aligned Curriculum. So we come in and we meld with each state's digital curriculum, and we also complement that by making sure we teach things like mathematics and English and comprehension, you know, other sort of subjects to make sure that we maximise the time in the class.
And I notice on your website you say proudly working with the Australian Primary Principals Association. What does that mean? What do you mean working with them?
Yeah, so they're a governing body that sort of works with all the principals to make sure that service products and services in their school meet certain standards. And so we were really proud to get that endorsement from them. So essentially every year we work with them to sort of make sure that we are facilitating the digital lessons that sort of are required in schools, and that we're not just inventing something ourselves, that we're actually sort of meeting demand. And we're happy to still have the endorsement 3 years in.
Because I suppose the principal is the decision maker.
Absolutely.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you mostly primary schools or high schools as well?
Yeah.
Or mostly high schools?
No, we're absolutely mostly primary schools. I think it's 98.5% primary schools. We do.
Oh, that's certainly mostly.
Yeah. We do have a little bit of high school content, but by that stage, most schools are resourced or can facilitate it with their own teachers. It's all about sort of coming in and giving those fundamental skills to the children. Like we come in and teach children right from kindergarten, and it's those schools that often don't have the resources that sort of need our help.
Well, very interesting to talk to you, and what a good business you've started there, Frank. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for the conversation.
I've been talking to Frank Lucasano, who's the founder and CEO of Scope IT Education. Mm-hmm.